The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
This prayer spread. This atmosphere is ready. And our hearts are set for the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Good evening, everyone. You know, prayer makes for one of the things prayer does, like we always teach, prayer and the ministry of the word should go together. Right? It should go hand in hand. When that happens, it becomes even easy to receive, you see, whatever God is saying to you. And you hear on a whole new level. Amen. You hear differently from what others would have heard. So today, we continue with Help Us of Your Joy. Hallelujah. Why are you on Sunday? So 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24, that's where that phrase came from. And on Sunday, I gave us the background, how we came about this statement, right? How that Paul was trying to explain to them why he didn't visit them. And he explained to them why he couldn't come. Then after that, he said, well, the reason he couldn't come was because he knew that his coming would have brought heavy corrections. Heavy corrections. So he said, because he wanted to spare them of that correction, he now said he wasn't going to come. And I use that to show you that men are actually positioned by God to help our joy. And in this context, we're talking about helping our spiritual growth. So men are tools that God positioned to help our spiritual growth. And this, when I mean men, I'm not just talking about individuals. Instead of looking at the local church. The local church is a structure. You know, the coming together of people in the church is a structure that God has put in place to help us and ensure that we are growing spiritually. The local church is the hub for spiritual growth, which is one of the things I always say, one of the things you must get right as a believer is that you must get your church family right. You must get your church family right. Let me say this to you before I just proceed. Choosing a church family is not something you should trivialize, right? Because choosing a church family carries everything that your spiritual growth needs. In this course of this series, I'll mention even other relationships, other things you need for your growth. But you also find that it's all in the local church. That's where it starts from. That's where it continues from. So when I see people who are careless about choosing churches, who just walk into any church and feel like, well, I like this place, I'm going to be there. And then 2 days after, they say they are out. If I let me say this to you, one of the major marks of consistency in a person is that the person has been able to be part of a local church a very long time. Are you following me? I understand the fact that people will change churches. But let it be that if you are changing churches, if you are changing church, it should be because you have not found your church. But if you ever find the church God has sent you to, or God has planted you to, you shouldn't be in a hurry about changing or switching places. In fact, let me say something that is very important that I wish I would not explain. Changing churches carelessly takes you many steps backwards in the plan of God for your life. I'm going to say that again. Changing churches carelessly takes you many steps backwards in God's plan for your life, especially in the area of ministry. And I can give you many reasons for that. But one of the reasons I can give you why that is true is because churches are full of men. Right? And if God is going to commit heavy responsibility to your hand, he has to do that through a man. And for that man to begin to trust you to commit those to your hand, there is trust. There is need for trust. And trust is not built in 1 month or in 3 months or in 1 year. Are you following me? And so every time you switch church family, or you switch spiritual fatherhood, sometimes you slow yourself, not slow down, all the time you slow yourself down. So it's not something you take carelessly, right? If you've not found a church family, it's good you take your time to prayerfully find one. Study the word of God, check what the word of God says, check your spirit man. When you find one, plant your feet there all your life. We have a culture of inconsistency in our generation, and we've carried it into ministry. Where one person starts a thing, you know, somebody, one man was talking, an older Christian. He said the difference between our generation and your generation is that in our generation, when things spoil, we fix them. In your generation, when things spoil, you replace them. Are you following me? And that got me thinking. And he's actually correct. And he was saying it in respect to the church. He said in our generation, we saw the worst of believers. We saw all the things that you see, but we are thinking of fixing. But your generation, you are thinking of replacing. And that's why you keep going from place to place, trying to replace and fix what is, and you know, replace what should be fixed. So, God provides the church. Now, look at the picture I'm going to give you for the guy that keeps changing churches. So, you want to be an engineer. Then you get admission into UNN. And then you do 3 years in UNN. Then you change school and change to a suit. I get to the point. Not that UNN, you know, that is a way you can change institutions, right? But in that, you need a letter from the other school. Not like UNN recommended you to a suit. You just changed. Do you think if you get to a suit, you'll be able to convince them that I did 3 years in UNN? Let me start from fourth year here. I get to the point. Even in the primary or secondary school system, if you change school, they will ask you to get your results from the other school to show that you're coming from somewhere. Are you feeling what I'm saying? So if you don't do that and just come into the school, they'll start you from JS1. But as far as you're concerned, you have no background. That's why I said, if people keep changing churches, they slow down their spiritual progress. So imagine you want to be an engineer, meant to be a 5 years course. In your second or third year, you change school. Then you get there. You start afresh. After like 4 years, one lecturer just talks to you the way you don't like. You change the photo. We start afresh. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You keep slowing yourself down. You eventually graduate maybe in UniBen. Years have been lost. Time has been spent. Which is why what God does is, you know, the biological family is supposed to model or to show you what God wants to do with your spiritual family. When you join your family, you stay there forever. You are never going to wake up one day and get a new father, a new mother. Are you getting the point? So God structures the local church in a way that it helps us to grow. And to grow all our lives. All our lives. Because I showed you something. I said, discipleship is not a destination. Remember that? Or let me put it this way. Spiritual growth, rather, is not a destination. Spiritual growth is not a place called there. That when I can pray 6 hours, I've grown. That's not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. So God gives you a lifelong family that will take you on that lifelong journey. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because it's a lifelong journey, He gives you a family that will journey with you and you will journey with for life. To take you on that journey. There are stories that I would have told you about this church thing. But for some reason, I'm not going to get into that. So it does not look like I'm trying to make any statements. But when you go, one of the things you look for as a human being, look for a good church and join. Yeah? A healthy church that God sends you to. Plants your feet there. And I've tried to show, what do you look for in a church family if you want to join? Very simple. First thing you look for in a church family is the word. That's the first thing. What do they teach? Because it is what you are hearing that will produce you. Let me put it this way. You will become what you hear. Are you following me? You will become what you hear. Something is off about this sound. I'm trying to pick it. You will become what you hear. If you hear, for instance, so much hate, you become a hateful person. Are you following me? And so the first thing you check is, what are they teaching? The word. So you want to choose a church family? Check for God's word.
Not just little birds, they shout Jesus, 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 superpower, superpower. No, what do they teach? Are you following me? So that's why people say, I want to go to church. Ask them why. They say, well, he's just close to my house. That guy is not yet serious about his life. So first the word. I can add a second one. What do they emphasize? What is the emphasis? You know, there are churches that preach the word, but they emphasize a lot of things. Some of them is all about entertainment. Some of them business summit. Some of them, they want to make you become a billionaire. That's not the assignment of the church. Now, if you're in a church, you'll become rich. God will prosper you. But that cannot be the emphasis of a local church. The emphasis of a local church should be on prayer. Prayer, evangelism, spiritual growth, Bible study. Are you following what I'm talking about? That should be the emphasis. What do they emphasize? What do they emphasize? Hallelujah. Then we can touch other things like I've mentioned their emphasis. What do they emphasize? What do they stand for? Amen. There are other few things you're going to check. Oh, things like what are the bulk of the activities going on there? I can write many things here. You can also check. Is it a church where there's the leading of the Spirit? Right? You can also check what is the church trying to make out of you? What are they trying to produce, make you? Then when you are done with all of this, the last thing you now check is your spirit man. Look at where I'm going to. Some people, the first thing they check when they want to choose a church is their spirit. Now, that is wrong. Are you following me? People say, my spirit just accepts the place. If you stay long enough in this life, you know that there are many places your spirit will accept. Why you don't just go with your spirit first is because your spirit cannot contradict these first few points. If my spirit accepts a place, but they don't teach right, I will reject the place. I feel what I'm saying. Because God's spirit cannot contradict the word. Are you following me? Yeah. So you check out all those things and choose a good church, choose a solid church. Become part of it. Then start growing there. And on Sunday I was showing you, don't just join the church. I told you there are three levels, Abi. We have the admirers. Where are you on Sunday? The first set of people, there are people that just admire the church. We have the admirers. That guy is powerful. That church is good. That's where it starts from. Then after that, you now have the regular attendees. People move from being an admirer to being an attendee, and they just start coming around once in a while. Then from there, the problem is some people never move from being attendees to becoming disciples. Some never. And that's the problem. Some remain as attendees for life. They never become disciples. One of the ways you're going to know is that when you see them, you it will be so clear to you that this church has not shaped this person. Are you following me?
Yes.
So they never make progress. They never make progress. And that's what you should not be. Amen. You should move from just being an attendee to now becoming a proper disciple. A proper disciple. And like I said on Sunday, I want to reemphasize, discipleship is not a program. Let me make that very clear. It's not a program. What I mean is, it's not a course you study. It's not like we have a discipleship program. If you go through it, it's for 8 months and you graduate, you have qualified. There's nothing like that. Though there can be trainings, as in, there can be official trainings organized. But it's not like a program you go through and you graduate and you've done it. Somebody can say, I've gone through discipleship. When you talk like that, you don't even know the first thing about discipleship. Because it's not something you go, it's something you do all your life. So discipleship is not for young Christians alone. And can I add, it's not only for leaders or people who want to be pastors. It's for every Christian. Is someone following me this evening at all? It's not a question of, I've gone through discipleship now. How long? By you took 2 years. You're not serious. It's a lifetime thing. It's something you enroll in and never graduate. You can only change levels. You can only change courses. You can only get more training. But you can never have it all. That's why even till your last minute on earth, You are still going to remain a disciple of Jesus. So when I see people say, I've gone to discipleship, and I say, so what are you now? Since you've gone to discipleship, so you're not made a disciple, so what are you now? You must remain a disciple of Jesus. You must remain a student of Jesus. So it's not. That's why I said, churching is a lifetime thing. Because discipleship takes place in the church. And discipleship is a lifetime thing. So you must church forever. Say amen. Because you're supposed to be a disciple forever. So it's not for beginners. It's not for leaders. It's not for intending pastors. It is rather for everyone who wants to follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus speaking to, hallelujah, speaking to his disciples. He said to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It's a followership. You have to follow. You have to follow. So he was talking to people who were already his disciples. Yet he told them they have to keep following. So it's something you do all your life. In Luke 9 verse 23, Jesus told them that they must deny themselves. Luke 9 23. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow him. That's discipleship. You must follow. That's why you find that the first time Jesus invited disciples, he didn't call them to, he told them, follow me. That's discipleship. Follow me. Follow me. So when you join church, you must join church as someone that wants to follow. That wants to be discipled. That wants to be trained. There are people that join church as men of God. And they never make it. They never become anything in God's hand. They just want to join. Somebody told me, I want to join your church because I want to see how I can be a blessing. And I said, well, that's a good spirit. That's healthy. But that's not the first thing. The first thing you're looking for when you want to join a church is that you want to look for how you can be trained and shaped to the end that you become a blessing. Because the end point of discipleship is to make you a blessing. Are you following me? But then it starts from being trained. Are you still here? So the church, I just want to close that Sunday teaching today. On Sunday we'll open up another thing. So the church is for discipleship. So you notice how, you know, and this discipleship, and let me explain. This discipleship is beyond attending church. That's what I want to explain. It's beyond showing up on Sunday and on Thursday. It starts with that, but it's beyond that. So you are not a disciple of Pastor Henry because you show up on Sunday and you show up on Thursday. Are you following me? It starts from there. But that's not where it ends. So I looked at Jesus' ministry, for instance. Jesus had the crowd. We can call these people maybe his church members. Bible says he taught them. He taught them extensively. If on one occasion he taught them for 3 days. So when you see that Jesus fed the 5,000 people, you know it's not just food he gave them. He taught them for long. It was after teaching them for like 3 days that they were hungry. And now say, let's look what they will eat. So these guys were attending his meetings. But they were not his disciples. But they were regular at the meetings. Are you following me now? So a church can have 100,000 people, but they're not disciples. Amen. So they can call them members. There are 100,000 members. But how many of them are disciples? So for you to become a proper disciple in a church of Jesus Christ, one is, yes, one was part of the crowd. In other words, you must attend every Sunday. Jesus also had the 70. Then he had the 12. I'm going to use this to express something to you. Then let me talk about 3. So watch. What I found out is, if you are going to be a solid disciple in a local church, you must belong to the church in all these capacities. So you must be part of the crowd. Then you must belong to a smaller group, yet another smaller group, then another smaller group. Because discipleship does not happen in a crowd. Are you following me? Have ever gone to learn a skill? Maybe a soft skill. Maybe you want to learn graphic design. And you guys are 200 in class. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Or maybe you went to learn tailoring and you guys are 100. You can learn, no. But that is how you will not learn. I can see the point. That's why it's not in the crowd that it happens. Yes, there is the need for that crowd thing. But we must have a smaller group. So in this church now, apart from the crowd, the church, we have the 70. People call, they will have generations. So we splitted the church now into 7 or 8 generations. How many? 7 generations. Where everybody should be. So if you are in this church now, and you are not participating in this generation, this 70, you are actually not being discipled as you should. Because what goes on with the at the crowd level, I'm still going to come to that. It's just information. I'm giving you information now. I'm teaching. That's all that happens here. We teach together. We pray together. I impact together. Now, the real training starts when you begin to join the 70. Where there is now, you are now part of generation. Beyond generation, there are other smaller groups in the church. For instance, you now begin to see departments. There is a training that goes on at the level of the 12, at the level of being a chorister, being an usher. That does not happen at the level of just being part of a generation. Because everybody is part of a generation. Everybody. Just that you might decide to participate or refuse to participate. Are you following what I'm saying now? So, discipleship happens properly in a local church when we become part of small groups. So, people that join church and... So, look at when Jesus wanted to send, he sent the 70. He didn't send the 5,000 that came to eat his food. When he wanted to make leaders, he made the 12 leaders. It is as you are part of smaller groups that you are really being trained. Because in a crowd of 500 people, we don't even know your name. You can decide not to show up tomorrow and we might not know you did not come. Are you following me? But when you're not part of smaller groups, maybe you're now your generation. How many are we in generation? Some generations have 30 people, right? Some, not everybody participates anyway. Some have 25 people, some have 40 people. If you're not participating there, it's easier for us to monitor you in that level. For instance, if you have anger issues, let me use anger issues. Discipleship, I'm coming to that very shortly, is meant to deal with that habit. Are you aware? But just the only way I can help you from here, when you're part of the crowd, is that I will teach you. Are you following me? Don't be angry. When you are angry, forgive. Don't hold anger for long. And you say, yes, Lord, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And you go. Then you return to your generation. They say we have generation evangelism. And on that evangelism day, you are the first to come for evangelism. And you are supposed to be by 4. You waited for everybody from 4 to 4:30. I get what I'm saying now. To 4:45, to 4:48, to 5:10, and your leader strolls in. I said, oh, you've been waiting? Let's start. No apology, nothing. Your anger is about to show up. Yes. It's at that level that it can be cut off. Are you following me? When you go further to becoming part of a smaller group, then I'm in the department. That's why you notice once our departments get bigger, we split them. Because the departments and those teams are not just ministry platforms. They're also discipleship platforms, training platforms. Because we know you more at that level. When I'll be closing, I'm going to give you, say, 3 things, you know, but let's get there. Because people say, is that training happening in our departments? Well, let me make that statement. I was saying when I'll be closing. There are 3 major things that God is used to train people in the local church. 3 broad things. First is, I'm going to run that from myself. First is information. Information. The right thing to use is the word. So information is just the general term. So the word of God. So that one is delivered at and if you are part of any of these levels, you will get the word. If you are in the crowd, you will get the word. If you are in the 70, the word will be coming at different. As I'm preaching it now, as your leader will share with you, Then after, apart from information, another thing is experience. This one is, and that causes you to change people. Tomorrow is evangelism. That's an experience. We are praying for 10 hours. That's an experience. Are you getting the point? All the things that happen around are experiences. Causes to shape you. Now, if you are just part of the crowd, you cannot have enough experience for God to change you in church. No. Because at the crowd level, not much happens at that level. That what I'm advocating for today is that you should not just pass to church. Become part of a smaller group. Find out what's my generation and begin to participate there. That's how I can get enough experience. Experience is like soul winning. Let's go and win a soul. We are praying together. We are fasting together. Let's go and see Sister D's. And on our way, as we're going to see that sister, rain now beat us. All those experiences, God is using to shape your Christian life. I say three things, Abby. Uh-huh. Information, that's the word of God. Experience. And the third one is relationship. I'm going to come to that later. So these three things, God uses them to shape our Christian life. That's how we are disciples. Now, if you are just part of the crowd, you don't even have a relationship. That's why you have cases of people who are in church and then all their closest friends are outside church. You know why? They are just here in the crowd. So that is the 70. You must be part of the 12 too. That's a smaller group. In fact, you should have another smaller group called the 3. This way we bring in your intimate friends, your close friends, your wife, your husband in the local church. Because also at that level, the discipleship happening at that level. Do you know the secret to this is? Your circle of 3 will know you the best. But let me put it to you, the crowd will never know you as your circle of 70. Circle of 12 will not know you, or circle of 70 will not know you as a circle of 12. Circle of 12 will not know you as a circle of 3. So, the smaller the circle now, the more you are known, the more vulnerable you become, the more you are being helped. So that's why I always say a church must grow bigger and smaller. So the bigger we get, there must be smaller groups, which you should be part of, because that is actually where training happens. Are you following me, friends? It doesn't happen like this thing I'm doing now. You say, a pastor can preach. That's all. If you are disciplined, you come 2 times in a week, Sunday and Thursday. That's all. So what happens on Monday? So there's no discipleship going on in your life on Monday, on Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The devil is having a free day in your life. Then on Sunday, come and hear the word. You're not going to get better. But this is a generation. For instance, we want to change how you dress. If I let me address this matter, this dressing matter I talked about now. On Sunday, I said I was going to give a correction, right, to some people, and I've already done that to some of them. But I've observed something which should be corrected. That many of us dress well to church, but we dress poorly when we go for weddings and events. Are you getting me? He said, how did you know? I've observed a few weddings. That your clothes you are wearing that is not good for church is not good for any wedding. Are you following me? And I'm saying it emphatically. Say amen. Amen. If it's not good for church, it's not good for wedding. You don't make clothes that you wear to do your birthday photo shoot. We can't wear them to church. You have birthday dinner. You dress like a mad person. Come out indecently. Now, look at where I'm going to with this. I don't go to weddings. You know, right? I was on the wedding on Saturday because that's my brother. Normally, he won't see me there. You get the point? That's the truth. I don't say why. I don't go to wedding receptions. I will rarely do. There has to be something stronger to bring me to a wedding reception. It doesn't mean I hate you or something. Amen? And it's okay. Is it okay? That's something stronger. So I will never know how you dress the wedding. Newsflash. Good thing is, there are people in your generation who go. So they will see you. So without being part of a small group, you can deceive all of us that you are fine. Are you getting what I'm saying now? For instance, I'm teaching prayer. Pray. We can even start praying here and you start jumping up. Shandaraba, shungaraba, dengaraba. You see this small group of three? If you have it in the local church, they know if you have a prayer life or not. Where are you doing shandaraba? I say, hey. They know you. They know you very well. So you can fool everybody. You can't fool that smaller group. That's why I would say the third thing that helps help people is the relationship. Which is actually what this teaching is about, actually. Help us of your joy. So that I'll focus on it much more. I'm just trying to talk about discipleship. Is that, are you following me? Because I would never know you. You see what you do in your place of work, I don't know. Whether you have 5 boyfriends now, I don't know. To avoid being part of a small group in church is to avoid accountability. And without accountability, there can be no discipleship. Yes. There must be accountability for discipleship to happen. Because I have to know you to know the kind of advice I will give you. One of the people, hear what I'm going to say. One of the people you avoid a lot in a local church, anybody that is in a church but just isolates, just stays on his own, doesn't mean, be careful about that person, is running away from accountability. Because once you become part of 70, a group of 70, then 12, then 3, and we are spiritual people, there is somebody that will hold you accountable there. So there is a level of accountability we demand from once you are part of the group of 70, a bigger group. Then when you are part of your team, we see you more closely. If I ask you, if we do something in the teams now, maybe secret message, or if we ask question now, in the choir, who is more hot-tempered, they can show you. It's a smaller group. I get the point. Who comes late the more, they can show you. In fact, so, what I've observed, sometimes when they call the person, you that is in the crowd will say, no. But they know what they're saying. Who is more stubborn in the ushering team? They know. You from where you are, you will not know. You just say, no, that sister, the way she just carries herself, she's prim and proper. They say, don't mind that girl. So in that smaller circle, that's where people are being trained. The problem we've had with discipleship over the years in the church is that we want to disciple everybody as a group. How can you possibly disciple 1,000 people? So there are many churches where people are not being trained. They're not being trained. Because for some of them, training is a curriculum that you go through. I've done PGTI basic. I've done PGTI advanced. I'm trained. That's deception. Are you following me? Even apart from departments, there are other bigger groups. That apart from the generation, there are other bigger groups here. For instance, there is students. That's a bigger group. Those meetings will take the most trust next year. Students. There is married people's group. You must be part of all those small groups. But we cannot still know you very well at that level. You must also be part of a smaller group. Yet another smaller group, yet another smaller, because that is actually how. So when Jesus was going to pick people, he had to pick people that were that close to him, the 12. You get the point? This, because that's where, you know, those 12 guys lived with Jesus in the same house. So he saw them finish. And they saw him finish too. I get the point. They in the same house, he knew Peter more than he knew Nicodemus. Are you following the point? He knew James more than he knew Joseph of Arimathea. So it was not strange that when he wanted to hand over leadership, he didn't look for Joseph of Arimathea, he looked for those guys. Because the smaller the circle, that's where there is thorough training. Are you getting the point? That's why what you observe in the church, the bigger we get, even if everybody doesn't belong to a department, the bigger we get, the smaller we make the groups. Even if it's not a department. And what you will do for yourself is to be part of it. Be part of it. So you go to some churches, they have businessmen's fellowship. Have you observed that? It's not bad though. Once they know what they're doing, once they put a solid leader to handle them, it's not bad. I've seen churches that have police people fellowship. Yes, because they find that they have a lot of police people in their church. They created a sect for them where, I get what I'm saying now, where discipleship can be happening at that level. At that level. A church can have politicians' fellowship. Not to discuss politics. Because that's where there's a problem. Instead of using those places as discipleship hubs, we use it as business hubs and transactions where we're discussing politics, who will be the president of Nigeria. It's a place that will come, we are teaching, discipling them. They know themselves. And the only difference now is that the examples we'll be using will not be the same example we're using for students. Do you understand? If I'm holding a student, that's why it happens, if I'm holding a student's conference now, secondary school student's conference, and I'm teaching them faith, believe God for your finances. My examples will be, for instance, if you need $500 for your transport, and you cannot get it, pray and believe God. Now that is faith. That's big. Do you understand? We can begin to teach them about how to pray for your parents, how to pray for your parents' finances. We can teach them on how to pick up, how to combine school with skills. That's financial teaching. If I gather businessmen too, and I want to see them face for finances, I can't be using 500 naira as a figure. I feel I'm saying now, I have to use 5 million, 10 million, 70 million, 100 million. Use it for students, they wonder, what's this one saying? So you see why what we do generally in church cannot be it. Cannot be the only. I feel what I'm saying now. There was a smaller group where people have been trained. If I was to talk about sin, I want to preach on righteousness, righteous living. And I'm talking to secondary school students. What will I be telling the person? Don't have boyfriend. If your boy approaches you, say no. If I'm doing it with children, I'm teaching them, these are my private parts, private part, private part. These are my private parts. Nobody should touch them. That's, I'm teaching righteous living. Are you following what I'm saying now? If I take it up to, I want to teach people that are married, righteous living, sexual purity. There are other things I can say. You know, I begin to read 1 Corinthians 7. Don't deny each other. Don't defraud each other. You see what I'm saying now? So there must be discipleship at different levels. If not, we will be playing to the gallery. People will not actually be growing. All they will have in their head is information. Divine righteousness is right standing before God. Divine prayer is a communication between divinity and humanity. That's all they're going to have. But we tend to bring things home. So that's why don't pass through church. There are smaller groups that God puts in place to help. Amen. It's important we look at that. Now, let me say a few things to you. One of the things, the major thing we want to achieve in discipleship is to make you like Jesus. Because even though in discipleship you are following man, the real followership is Jesus. That's the person you are following. That's why Paul will say, follow me as I follow Christ. So I want to make you like Jesus in about 7 different ways that I'm going to list for you. One, I want to transform you. To transform, first of all, transform your mind. That's the first thing I want to transform in discipleship. I want to transform your mind. This is in addition to all this I've made on Sunday. So I want to transform your mind, first of all. Your mind. So that you can think like Jesus. You can believe the same things he believed. So that when we ask you, what do you believe about this? It should be the same thing that Jesus believes. So be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So you can believe like Jesus. You can think like him. That's where the teaching of the word comes in. Are you following me? So you want to transform your mind. Paul said in Philippians 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So, discipleship tends to make you think like Christ. Talk like Christ. See things like Christ. Believe like him. Believe the same things that he believed. Amen. Then, we want to transform, secondly, your character. Discipleship wants to transform your mind. Secondly, your character. That's your lifestyle. So that you can live as Jesus lived. So first I say, God, we want you to believe as he believed. Now I'm saying we want you to live on earth as he lived. We want you to do your business as he did his business. We want you to interact with people the same way you interact with people. You know, it's funny that a lot of people want to be Christians, but they don't, how do I put this now? They want to eat their cake and have it. They want to be Christians, but they don't want their Christian journey to affect anything in their life. They want to keep talking the way they're talking, acting the way they're acting, dressing the way they're dressing. It doesn't work. If Christianity does not cost you, you might not have met the real Christianity. Discipleship is costly. Jesus said, if you follow me, you have to deny yourself. So I want to make you to live the life of Christ. That's what discipleship tries to achieve in you. To live the life of Christ. Character formation. That you act in a certain way. A certain way is exactly like Christ. Just like in Antioch, they acted and the people said, these ones are Christians. Because they acted like Christ. So you want to transform your mind, transform your character. The next, you want to transform your relationships. That's what Jesus wants to do. So you can begin to do relationship the same way Jesus will do the same. Both in choosing who your friends are, choosing who you marry, how you do the relationship, how you relate with your wife, how you relate with your friend, has to be the same way Jesus does his own. That's discipleship. And all of this is what the church tries to achieve in you. Are you following me? So what do you want to do your relationship? Love people the way he loves people. For instance, there are people that, I won't say that again, that are born again, but they don't want anything to change. Let me give you an example. Some of you are born again now, but you got born again, and I'm going to say this emphatically. You got born again today, or last week, or this year. Yet all your friends, before you got born again, are still your friends today. Something is wrong with you. Yes. Discipleship should change your circle of friends. Say amen. Amen. Yes. I had friends before I got born again. When I got born again, they stopped being my friends. We didn't quarrel. But you want to eat your cake and still have your cake. You want to be a Christian, a serious Christian. But you still want to keep your old lifestyle, keep your old friends. You used to have a girlfriend before you got born again. Now you get born again, you still want to keep your girlfriend. You want your girlfriend before you got saved to remain your girlfriend after you got saved. He said, we will stop sinning. Discipleship, we transform your relationship. You have a best friend, say, from junior class. And you guys are growing. You've grown to become born again and you're pursuing your life with God. This guy is still living his normal life. Carrying women, doing the life of an unbeliever. And then you still want to be a Christian, but you still want to keep that friendship. It doesn't work like that. Say amen. Amen. It doesn't work like that. The demand of relationship is that you begin to do, look at Jesus and his relationships. Did you observe how he did his relationships? He had people he kept very close. To the sinners, he didn't hate them. He preached to them. He loved them by taking the gospel to them. But he didn't bring them close to become his party. He didn't do that. Are you following what I'm saying now? So discipleship will demand, will try to transform both how you choose your relationships and how you do the relationship. Such that when you are now married, you can't say, or maybe you have a friend, a believer friend, all of that. You can't say things like, you know, you got me angry, I'll now forgive you, get out of my life. That's not the life of Christ. A disciple of Jesus will do relationship the way Jesus did relationship. How do you do relationship? Peter hurt him, denied him 3 times. He rose from the dead. He sent for Peter. He forgave Peter. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's Jesus' relationship. So these are things we try to form in you. On Saturday, amen. On Saturday, all pastors, ministers, and leaders, leaders at every level in this church, department, small group, I have a meeting with you guys this Saturday afternoon. Amen. Because I want to say a few more things around this line of discipleship too. Some things that we, because at the end of the day, there's a way to disciple people. See, amen. Saturday, 3 p.m. We'll have that meeting 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Then we'll do our, or thereabout. Yes. See, amen. So try to change your relationship. That's one thing discipleship tries to do. To shape your relationship. So you can't, I said, you can't eat your cake and have it. I think is that correct? I thought they changed it. They said you can't have your cake and eat it. Is that what they said? But I can have my cake and eat it. Because if I have my cake, I'll eat my cake. So you can't try to be a Christian. You're a Christian, but this will not happen just by me preaching on stage. It's at this smaller level. Then maybe your generation leader is walking across your house, maybe somebody, and sees you with one notorious boy in the street. And I say, what are you doing with that guy? That's discipleship. He say, we've been friends for long ago. It's my party. Even before church, we've been friends. And I say, church has now come. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Something has happened. That's discipleship. But I will never know. I can just preach this now. After preaching this, and let me tell you why small group discipleship is very important. Whenever a message is coming, every God-inspired message stirs up an urgency to obey when you hear it. Is that true? If I preach now about prayer, as I'm preaching, you even want to start praying. But the problem is that when you get home, that urgency may not be there when you get home. Does it happen to you? Which is why there is for small group discipleship. Somebody close by that will, that's what one of the things we must do after this meeting, after this teaching, is to submit yourself to proper discipleship. For instance, if I'm preaching in church now and I teach on prayer and you want to take your prayer life seriously, I give you a simple thing to do. Locate your generation leader, locate your team lead or whoever and say, please, this is my prayer life, I'm having an issue. Please, I want you to monitor me on it. That's discipleship. Now, that person will now make sure. Oh, my own here is to supply information. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I'll supply information. Now, it is those disciples, which I'll talk about their roles later, not today. Will now begin to shape you. If I teach on ending wrong relationship, as I'm preaching, as you even make your own mind, Pastor, thank you for this. As I get back, I'll never talk to this guy again. It's over. As you're going home, you'll see a test. Guy, how far? Make we meet tomorrow. Or either come here. As soon as you're going home, the person is at your house. Waiting. Say, how far now? You wasted time in church today. I was waiting for you. Will you pursue him? That's where you need disciples. That you relate the matter to, and they will tell you what to do. You say, sir, what can we do? When you tell them, they will tell you. At least you can do. When I got born again, I wanted to end my old friendships. They were not bad people. Very good people. Two friends. Very good people. But I knew that if I sit with them, we're not talking Bible, we're not talking church, we're talking women and, not women, sorry, girls. Do you understand? You know, as secondary school people. But I knew that I had to change them. So I came up with a strategy. Once it was break time, once they ring the bell, right? I sit down in my locker, bend down and start speaking in tongues. So when they come and I say, oh, he's praying. And I will not stop until break is over. So, after school, we normally walk home together. So, and I cannot say we cannot walk home together again. So I planned what I was going to do. That once we take off, I will control the conversation. So then we start, I say, guys, if you see the program I attended over the weekend. And they will just say, oh, wow, tell us. They think I'm about to stop. We should check home then. And we keep talking about that program. How the first day, second day, I thought, they say, is there another thing you talk about apart from this, your program that you used to go to? So he started getting, the relationship began to get strained. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was a whole lot, but God did something else for me. For some reason, their parents changed their school. I said, thank you, Jesus. We still talk to today. We are still friends. We still see once in a while. I'm not quarreling with them. I feel what I'm saying now. But that closeness couldn't have existed. Why didn't you try to get them born again? I don't even know. At that time, that wasn't my headache. I wanted to be fine first. Yes, I preached them a few times. Yes, I preached to them quite alright. But they were not coming along, and I didn't bother. Say amen. You can't eat your cake and have it. If you eat your cake, it will finish. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you're a believer, it should shape your relationships. Let me tell you what it means. When you're properly discipled, you find out that as a man, there are some kind of girls that will never appeal to you again. As a woman, there's some kind of men that will never appeal to you again. Never. Without stress. And I say this under God, I've never had a crush on an unbeliever. So I go born again. I say crush. Never. Do I crush on people? A lot. Believers, plenty. In church, story for another day. But, you know, it has changed that taste board. That the minute I found that I'm not even born again, there's no attraction. There's no attraction. What are we going to be talking about? Amen. You know how I travel? I can be traveling with my wife sometimes. We are driving far. And I just start praying in tongues and she starts praying with me. Or we are playing a message and we are traveling. Or we are traveling and we are singing. So imagine. I just start traveling. I say, shambara, shambara, shambara. She just starts sleeping. Are you following me, friends? Let allow discipleship to shape you. It will. So it tries to transform your relationship. You know, and all of that. Of course, another thing it transforms is your values. You see, this is what I'm talking about, your values. You now begin to value the same thing that Jesus values. You won't value many things. You no longer hold money where others hold it. You no longer hold life. So you begin to see things from Jesus' perspective. Discipleship does that. When I meet with leaders on Saturday and some, there are a few of you that I know you are not leaders and all of that, but you need to be in that meeting. But I'm not going to tell you anything. If there's an effort I'm going to see, then I will allow you. Amen. So, values, for instance. Amen. We must try to transform your value system. Your value system. Then, of course, the next thing, because of our time, habits. Habits. It tries to transform your habits so that you can have the same. So it tries to form in you the same habits that Jesus had. What are Jesus' habits? Things like prayers. Mark 1:35 tells us a great while before day, he will get up and go and pray. So discipleship tries to form in you the same habits that Jesus carried. Are you following me? Let me give an example. Luke 4:16 tells us that Jesus had a habit of going to church. He said, and he came to Nazareth when he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So it was his custom to enter the synagogue every Sabbath day. Give me like an NLT of this verse. As his custom was, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It was his habit. So whenever you have been, this discipleship tries to make you have the same habits. So he had a habit of prayer. He had a habit of church attendance. He had a habit of fasting. He had a habit of reading the word. Those are habits that he had. Are you following me, friends? As I'm telling you, it's not about what I do on stage here. It happens in smaller groups. In fact, I will tell you something more on Sunday and maybe on Thursday. It happens not only in smaller groups. There's another level of discipleship I didn't mention here. That is the crowd, the servants. But then there is the one-on-one. I'm going to talk about that later. It happens in smaller groups. It happens by interaction. Where someone is teaching you, monitoring you, supervising you, ensuring that you are doing right. So if that's what it's a lifelong thing. Even now, I'm still being discipled. And my disciple, my pastor, is still being discipled by someone. And his disciple is still being... Are you following me, friends? Because it's a lifelong thing. Because you can get carried away. You can get carried away. The body of Christ, when things happen, I always ask, who is that person's pastor? Who is teaching the person? That's why, by the time on Sunday, I'm going to make this statement very seriously. But don't just make it, I'm going to explain it on Sunday. That's why a local church will have one father. One father. But a local church will have many disciples. I cannot possibly disciple everybody here. It's not possible. You get what I'm saying now? Many disciples. Amen. So, discipleship tries to transform your habits. To make you have the same habits yourself. It also tries to transform your let me call it service or your ministry. Where you can now serve and do ministry the same way Jesus did. You learn to do ministry like him. Without complaining, without grudge, with a pure heart. You see how he did ministry? You learn to do it like that. You learn how he healed the sick. You learn how he taught people. Do you get it? But you learn how he ministered to people, how he casted out devils, how he did his teaching. Discipleship also tries to do that to you. So you're already seeing discipleship tries to overhaul your entire life to make you to be like Jesus. Are you feel what I'm saying now? Yes. So I've been discipled to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to do relationship like him, to value what he values, to have the same habits that he has, to serve and do ministry like him. The last one is to lead like him. To lead like him. Begin to lead your family like him. Lead your friends like him. Lead your company like him. Yes. That's what discipleship tries to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you must be available for this. Don't just pass through church. I'm emphasizing this again. Allow it to happen to you. You see, I mentioned three things: information, experience, and relationship. The major thing that happens when we sit here is information. Do you know why? At the close of every service, there are many things we ask you to do. Turn to your neighbor and say this. Share this with your neighbor. All of this, we are trying to establish relationships in church. To the end that you get that something else is happening to you beyond what I'm doing on stage here. Because I cannot monitor whether you obey the word. But your smaller group can monitor if you obey the word. Your one-on-one discipler can know if you obey the word or not. If you do well anyway. Are you following me, friends? So discipleship tries to make you a better person. Jesus is kind of person. By the word, by experiences. These experiences will include regiments, responsibilities. Oh, we want you to become the leader of social group. That's an experience you are giving you. It's part of your training. Every experience in the local church is part of your training. So without being part of a smaller group and smaller groups, many small groups, you rob yourself of many experiences that you can have in the church. Amen. Every time we try to bring up smaller systems, now, what I'm teaching you is general truth. But let me even say this before I say what I want to say. If you join anything tomorrow and you want to be the best in that thing, get into smaller groups. Get into one-on-one interactions. You'll be the best. If you come into a class of 1,000, you're learning a skill. And they're teaching all of you 1,000 people. Don't see. Try to get closer to a personal discipler. Trainer in that field. Have smaller circles. That's how you do well. If you want, to attend class and go home, you can never be excellent. You can never be. Are you following me now? That's why even in medical school, after the, even law, all these departments, all these courses, after they teach all of you in class and law school, they now say you go and do hospital, you know, you can do internship and housemanship, where you begin to work in smaller circles, right? They have smaller, in every department, you have a doctor, what do they call the person here? A consultant or so, that you guys are working under, discipling you guys for that time. That's how to become good. So, you cannot decide to be a strong Christian if you don't have the same structure here. So, walking in and out of here, nothing is happening to you. That's how you can come to church for 5 years and the change that has happened in your life is less than 5%. Because you are running away from structure. You are running away from accountability. You are running away from discipleship. You are running away from God trying to shape you. Amen. I know there are people here that are like me. Some people enjoy, naturally enjoy being invisible in a place. I don't feel like that. Say the truth. You like just coming in. Nah, but there are people that like that naturally. Naturally, I'm like that. Just come in. Do my thing. Hear the word. Disappear. I went to school. It will shock you. I went to school for 4 years. I didn't attend anything. I didn't need class. Birthday, burial, wedding, meeting, nothing. I just come in. After the lecturer, I'm the next to leave the class. Even to stay back in class to interact with people, you never see that. Come in, over, come in. You know. But it can't be like that. But eventually, I later had friends, yeah. So the friends I later had came to me. I didn't go to them. You know. But that's not the best. You can't come into church and have the same energy. You won't grow. You won't grow. So there are smaller circles that God uses to train us. And that's how you can get better. The thing about it, on Sunday, or on Thursday, I don't know when I'll talk about disciples properly. In life, you have plenty of disciples at different levels of your life, at different stages. In fact, every time we change your department, we are changing discipleship, we are changing diet for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm doing. So give you a new leader. And I begin to say, I don't like this, my leader. The order of my leader is part of it. It's part of it. Say amen. Then you're a student, you're part of the student group, you now graduate, you become part of the young professionals. You say, that's how we used to do our students group. In our students group, everybody is free. But it's no longer like that. I get what I'm saying. Change will keep happening. That's why every time we call special meetings in church that involve smaller groups, be there. If we say we want to see all married people, show up. That's where real formation is happening. All those smaller groups. If I'm preaching and you guys are 5, I'm seeing your face. As I'm preaching now, you can intelligently sleep. As I'm preaching now, you can smartly sleep. People are so blessed with this thing. They can sleep, you will not catch them. But then when we get into that, imagine if you are 8 people doing the retreat, we are sitting around in a circle. If you just nod your head, I'll just say, touch your neighbor. Yes. So we say, we want to see everybody in first year. We want to see everyone in final year. We want to see everyone that is into business. We want to see everyone that is married. We want to see what just show up. It's not even about whether you are married. It's about... Those are training hubs. Are you following me? Those are training hubs. Those are training hubs. We want to see all men. We want to see all women. We want to see all singles. We want to see... Those are training hubs. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So take advantage of the necessary
groups, those relevant groups, those relevant relationships in church. I was supposed to say all of this on Sunday, but just let me close it today. So, God plans, you see these three things I mentioned, information, experience, then relationships, all of them are in the local church. And if you maximize them well, so information, you have to hear God's word a lot. Hear God's. Do you know, even if, why I use the information here is this, even if you take this teaching away from church, and take it to your career, these three things is still what you need. These are the three things that makes an apprentice a boss. If I bring you to come and learn how to, you many apprenticeship things like how to sell car battery. The first thing I'll start giving you when you come, plenty of information. This one is called Solite. This one is China. This one is Germany. Look how to know China. When you look at, I get what I'm saying now, when you see China, China always has this red thing on top. This one is Germany. This one is Japan. Japan is stronger. I'm giving you information. This other car battery, that's the first thing we pass you through. Do you understand? China battery sell is 70,000. But then we keep it alone now from 78. The person will now price it down. I'm giving you information. Then I'll begin to give you experience. I want to go to, I'll send you, go to this shop. Tell them to give you battery. We don't have China. Tell them to give us China. I want to go and buy goods. Follow me. That's apprenticeship. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm giving you experiences. So, an apprentice that doesn't have experience but has only information, we do badly in business. That's why we have a problem. Someone like me, I complain about the Nigerian education system. We only have information. There is no experience. There is no practical. That's why you notice the apprenticeship system in Igbo land works better than our educational systems. Because they provide this, as I'm telling you. Then, experience that, go and buy this, go and pick this. You witness many things. You will witness the day your boss will, where market will not come. No customer will come for 3 days. You are learning how he behaves in such things. You know what I'm saying? You are watching how he will go to buy products and they dupe him. They come back and say, dupe me, I want 1 million, they dupe me. You are learning. Those things are shaping you. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? You are learning when your boss sold someone and did not write receipt and the person came back to make a case. Experiences are forming you. Then he sends you, go to this other shop. You know, have you observed that almost all traders in the market behave the same way? For instance, an Igbo shop, you can never enter, they don't have what you're looking for. They are taught by experience, not verbally. They see it. You see your boss do it once. He said, what are you looking for? Shoe. Oh, Dian. But the other shop is in the other shop. You're just sitting by the side watching that thing play out. And your mind will be like, oh, God doesn't have this shoe. Before your very eye, he will sell the shoe. We've learned it. When that plays out before you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, the 10th time you are the one, you say, we have it. Do you have shoe? Do you have car? We have it. Do people sell land? We sell it. It's just in the other shop. Experience has shaped you. I get the point. Then, in the course of running around, you are forming relationships. That's why, if you are done learning any trade, you know where to go and get goods from. Nobody tells you that one. You've built many relationships. You even know the shop to go to where you don't have what you're looking for. Where did you learn it? That training. Relationships. These are still the things that God is used to form us here. The word you are being taught. We teach about the life of Christ, how Christ died for all of that. That's just one part of discipleship. The second part is experiences. Which you run away from. If you run away from small groups. If you come to evangelism and you don't show up, you run away from experiences. Are you following me? If you say that it's prayer drive, you don't show up, you run away from experiences. You can never be a good Christian like that. Then relationships. If you run away from relationships, you run away from everything. Amen. That's why in this church, once you join, the first thing we do is we say, do PGTI basic.
What person will give you? Somebody that will be your disciple. That will teach you that class for 3 months. That's the plan. And then, in the course of the training, person begins to demand, on so-so day, reach out to someone and get back to me. We are trying to give you experiences. Are you following me? On so-so day, we want you to bring a gift for someone. We are giving you experiences. That's how the Christian journey will be forever. After that 3 months, you are not expected to join a department. Your disciple at that point changes immediately. Because your team leader now begins to oversee you. Why didn't you come to church? Why didn't I see you in church? Why didn't you show up yesterday? Discipleship is taking place. Are you following me? Then you're part of a generation, a bigger. When I ask, where do you stay? He says, stay around your neck. When I say, oh, that means you are in Keruso. Am I right? You're in Keruso generation. So, Brother Michael, you have to answer to him. Where do you stay? You say, I stay around New Heaven or New Heaven Extension. What's that generation again? Huh? Dunamis, yes. That's your generation, Abi. Yes. Yes. See, yeah, that generation, Dunamis generation. Where's Apostolos? Huh? Essex, yes. Parkland Axis and all of that. All of that exists. So, you notice more generations will come up. Just as we keep growing, we keep adding up. So that at every level. So the person that is now in your neck. But every time they say, we have something to do, he doesn't show up. He's robbing himself of being part of the 70. Dodging experiences. If I say this, you will see. The job Jesus gave the 70 wasn't the same job he gave the 12. He sent the two groups on missions. Did you observe? But the assignments were not the same. In Luke chapter 9, he sends the 12. Give me Luke 9 verse 1. He gave them of power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. Right? He sent them to go and preach. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's the 12. In Luke chapter 10, he sent the 70 from verse 1. But he sent them for a different assignment. He sent them to cities where he will visit. Pay attention to that. So the 70, you won't really call that missions. They were meant to heal the sick on their way. But he sent them, maybe he's planning to come to Ebonyi State. He said, you go ahead of time. So it was more like publicity. I get the point. But it was still ministry. So the more you get into the circles, that's why in church now, being part of a generation doesn't make you someone that will officiate in church. But when you become part of a department now, that's a smaller circle. We can now say, serve as an usher, serve as a greeter, serve. Are you getting what I'm talking about?
Yes.
As someone in the department, in part of a generation, you're going to be winning souls, doing publicity that every other believer should do. But when you now take a step forward from that, just people of a generation, and say, okay, I want to be more. Can I be part of a department? Can I pick the form for joining departments? You have to pick up the form. That is, you are really, that's why when you now get to that level of being part of a department, we are demanding more from you. Do you understand? You cannot now be late. Others will just come on Thursday and Friday and Sunday. We'll say you must come on Saturday. Why? You've submitted yourself to a higher level of discipleship. Are you following what I'm saying? You must come on Saturday. And if you come late, we can now discipline you. Because higher level of discipleship. So the training is that it's different. The expectation is different. The demand is different. Make yourself available for whatever God is doing in your local church. Are you following me? Because, you know, don't miss out on experiences. And Lord said I should close with that. There are certain things I make you guys do in this place sometimes. And so that's why I do it is, I just feel you should have the experience. And the experiences I've had that shaped me. You know, I can teach you boldness by the Spirit. Right? I can teach you spiritual boldness and authority. But if I take you to march from Gariki to Holy Ghost by 12 midnight to pray. I don't need to teach you boldness after that day. I'm not giving up for 7 days. No preaching for boldness. These are the experiences that formed me. I get to the point. I used to pray a lot in the midnight. Come out, walk around. Remember one certain time, our priest then, our pastor then, declared that for the next how many days, every night, we are going to get to a set different junctions in town. 12 midnight to go and pray there. Every night we are there. There's no junctions in Soka today that I've not gone to pray. From 12 to 3, standing there. Midnight. Now, you wonder, why are they doing all those things? Does God only hear prayers at night? Because we pray in our house, that experience, apart from whatever commotion it caused in the spirit, shaped something. I get to the point. So when I hear people say, there's a demon there, there is a... I say, what's that one? There are things that will pass you through. It's to shape you. This is evangelism time. You say, I don't have to come out. I can just be in my room and evangelize people. From the comfort of my phone, I can WhatsApp people and evangelize to them. Maybe that is also true. But you're missing out on something very important. You have to walk up and down. I get to the point. Nobody taught me on how to cast out devils. I went to the evangelism and I saw devil. And I casted him out. Are you following me? I saw devil passing. I casted him out. Nobody, there was no special course. But when I tried to take a course on deliverance, there's one course they wrote. I don't understand what I'm saying. There are many people, this one, that I said, this is not for me. I stayed with the same boat I knew. Get to the street, see devil, cast him out. Those expenses, you can never have them in your room. Are you following what I'm saying? See, everything we do here, experiences are forming. Things are shaping you. Do you get the point now? So, don't miss out on experiences. What can I use as an example? Everything. Even as we're building a house now. We say on so day, all of us are going to go to that place. Come out. That's something you are learning. That's something shaping you. I get the point. We are going to come and carry block. Come and carry block. It is in experiences that we are formed. Imagine you are an apprentice and they say they're looking for who we can do this and you dodge. The more you keep touching, because there are many things that in apprenticeship they won't say to you. You learn by observation so you don't dodge. One of the greatest jobs of a disciple is to find ways to always be around. Always be around and always be involved. Because that is where experiences happen. Be around and be involved. And when you are around and involved, participate. And observe what is happening. Observe. So, this is to say that church activities are not actually to pass time. They are to shape you. Even the ones you think are not necessary. To shape you. Are you following me? Tomorrow we are going to have love feast. By 3. You say, am I looking for food? You think the love feast is because it's for people that are hungry? No. Show up. Even if you have food. Are you following me? If I want to show you how food, bring more food for people. And show up. Because that is... We teach you the word. In experiences, we give you a chance to practice the word that you've learned. And then to experience it yourself. Amen. That's why the first job of a disciple, for instance, is to indoctrinate you. That indoctrination is teaching. I'll explain that to some of the guys on Saturday. The first job is indoctrination. But then the second job of a discipler is to make you experience what he's teaching you. I get the point. To give you a chance to experience what he's teaching you. Another job the disciple has, for instance, is to, apart from making you experience what he's teaching you, to transfer himself to you. He said, why does that happen? That one happens by spending a lot of time with you. If a disciple spends a lot, that's why pastors, ministers, leaders, arrested on Saturday, cannot afford to be absent and distant from their people. So that spending a lot of time together will transfer spirits, transfer values, transfer thinking, transfer thought patterns to the person. Did you see how Jesus mentored the disciples? He was always with them. Always. So, I just told you three things. I mentioned indoctrination, right? And I said, what next? Experience the word, what is teaching you. And then I mentioned transference. If you are absent, these things can happen effectively. That's why discipleship cannot have happen over the phone or over technology. There's just a level it can. Now, if it will happen over technology, like people that are following us from far, that's why we have to give them a pastor. Because there has to be a smaller, there has to be a one-on-one interaction. Just that you are joining us on through service, and you are typing our conversation, yes, that's okay, but that's not still discipleship. You must now take a step further to interact with the pastor we've given you, interact with other believers that you are worshiping with. Take instructions, I'll talk about that later, and then other things now start following. So once you're not always around, once you're absent, you're actually missing discipleship because you're missing out on experiences. Are you following me? Yes. So it's not enough to say, I will miss church, but don't worry, I'll get the message and listen to it. You need more than information. Are you following what I'm saying now? You need more than information. You need to experience what you have been taught. We teach you humility. We teach you service. How can you practice humility and service if you will not be around in church? The day will say, oh yeah, everybody pick up broom and sweep church. Yes. On your small group, you guys are a group of businessmen in church. You guys might decide, you know, next week, I want us to raise money in this group and visit people that are less privileged and serve food to them. That's a teaching on discipleship, as in on service and humility. Are you what I'm talking about? You now get there to the streets, you find people that have not eaten, just giving them food, serving them, helping them, taking care of them. You can't have that experience. So no matter, if I teach on serving others, you have learned it. By the time it's time, we say we want to go to the streets and assist people. You know, I mean, this I learned by practice. When we are going on mission works, we are taught that when you go on mission work, when you go meet someone, you go for evangelism, whatever that person is doing as work, while one person is preaching, others should join them and start doing the work. That's what we are taught. So, I did things I've never done in my life. But, for the flock, for someone I was trying to win to Christ. Now, that's a 1 hour teaching or 7 hour series on becoming all things to all men for the sake of winning the lost. I practiced it. The first day I handled palm fruit. You know palm fruit? To remove palm fruit from do you know what I'm saying? When you harvest palm fruit, you start removing it from the head. Well, have you ever done that? Why are you so confident? I don't think so. You guys are too packaged. The first day I tried that thing, Jesus, I came back on my hand. Blood. Injured all over the place. But I was smiling. Because they even told us, oh, no, no, even if we don't know this, don't do this kind of. I say, me? No, I can't do it. So the thing was, I couldn't even cry. We are preaching. We want them to Christ. We want them to Christ. They felt so good. We came down to their level. Are you getting the point? There's this other one they call, is it Okpeya Biogiri? Something like that. Oba, something. What's the English? What? Oil bean? Whatever. But I did it. As that preaching, we are involved. The only one I did not do because I feel I would have fallen is matching the palm fruit. So they were doing it. I said, can I? They say, don't. They asked me, sister, have you done it before? I said, no. I said, don't do it. Too. And I felt the Holy Ghost told me, don't do it. But it's part of those things. So I didn't just learn serving the saints and serving people from Bible school. Or what? I get to the point. We had practical experiences of it. Being not in Swabian evangelism, I learned it. We are taught to formation work that once we get there, any food they serve you, because we are living in the community. We live there for 1 month. Any food they serve you, eat. Any food they serve you, eat. Say amen. If I tell you this, I've eaten in this my life. And to worsen it then, I used to have a very sensitive stomach. Anything can upset my stomach. But anything they serve you, eat. I ate one soup. You know, I keep telling you guys about that soup. This soup can draw from this point to that wall. Call it an inspiration, is your business. It keeps drawing. It doesn't cut. So you eat it in the direction of the wind. So where you pick it, who knows this one I'm talking about? You should know because it's around your place. What's the name of the soup? What? Age. Do you like it? Yes. I ate another one in Abia State. How many of you are there with me? Called Achara. Who knows Achara? If I tell you the experience with Achara, but let's leave it. You guys are wondering why, what I'm saying. It's sweet, Abby. God bless you. Different other things. That's why you now see that different people have different kind of food. There's this thing that crawls. That crawls, that has many legs. They suck it. And you see them eating it comfortably. Does anybody know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen them eat anything like that? Huh? Do you think I like it? I still don't like it. But if I go for another mission work, I would do the same thing. Now, 30 years in Bible school, they are teaching you, when you sacrifice for the gospel, when you get there, that one was not even for the gospel, because if you don't eat it, you will die, because we're going to be there for 1 month. There are experiences that you cannot learn if you're not around. You can never have the experience. That is, you can never learn if you're not around. You have to show up. I get to the point. Suffering for Jesus, you have to show up. You can't suffer for Jesus, for instance, at home. Rain has to beat you on the street when you're preaching the gospel. Some of you think, you come back and tell me that you went to preach, rain beat us. Think I feel bad for you. I don't. One of the first strategic healings I experienced in my life, when I was younger, I used to feel cold a lot. Went for mission work, finished preaching. We were supposed to go home. It began to rain heavily. You know that it's drizzling and there is heavy rain. I felt that rain was sent from wherever. I want to go somewhere else. And my leader said, you know what? We can't wait for this rain to finish. We will enter the rain because we won't be late to our next meeting. And we just say, yes, ma. We got on the rain. Heavy rain. And I said, I was shivering. But they just started praying in tongues. And we all started praying in tongues. We prayed for over 2 hours under that rain. We prayed until we got home. Drenched. We got home, got to the door. We have prayed for like 2 hours. So we were so excited. So instead of getting into the house, we stood at the door, the passage, and started singing. Some of us just rose. We started singing, started dancing for like another 1 hour. By the time we were done, the water has dried. So I thought cold would kill me that day. But that was the end. I didn't feel cold again like that. I didn't have any. Now, bring AC. If you people know my story. You can't stay in the same place. So if I stay under, you will run. But it wasn't like that. Do you know, many years after that, they were having a meeting in school. I just ended up as JCB president, and my successor planned a meeting, outdoor crusade. And I just came for the meeting as just somebody that came, predecessor. Are you following me? And immediately he came up to carry the mic to say, in Jesus, it was his time to preach. Heavy rain, sent from hell. And it started raining, people started running up and up, started going inside. And I was just there, calm, I was just praying. And he came, I gave him sign. Instrument, everything stopped working. The rain was heavy. So he said, I don't know what to do. I said, preach. He said, sir, please, can you take over? I just walked up to the stage. I said, people are running inside already. I said, if you want to pray with me, come back and come back here. All of them came back. I preached under that rain, preached with my voice. People got it. Somebody was booked for a surgery. He had a heart-related issue. Healed that night by the power of God. I learned to do things with rain. I didn't learn it from any Bible school. Went for carries, you know, where? How many of you are there? If you see rain, the rain was so heavy that when we were going home, people, in fact, it was carrying people. Real life story. But those experiences, you cannot watch them on movie. You can't learn them by reading Matthew chapter 2. So some years after that, we're having a crusade at Obiagu. This one, some of you experienced that one. Just a mini crusade we organized. Rain started falling. Good thing is, people didn't run. I still missed under that rain. People still got saved dramatically under that rain. How many of you are there? Yes. Dramatically under that rain. Now, these are experiences that form us. So when people are singing, I'm ready to go, there are things you can never be or know until you are in it. So show up when it's time to show up. Are you getting the point? Show up when it's time for evangelism. Show up in your small groups. Show up in your small groups. What can be somewhere that is sick? Show up. I will not give you this mic now to minister to the sick in this church. I won't do it. But if you show up in your small groups, you will heal the sick a lot. But someone is going to be sick, and I say, oh yeah, your team is that, your generation is that, I say, three of you come visit the side of the sick. And you get that. That's an opportunity to heal the sick. Yes. I've gone for that kind of thing. Are you following me? I may not give you a mic to explain Bible. But they say, go and follow that sister up. And you got there. The person is arguing. That's where your teaching anointing will come upon you. That's where training happens. It's in the experiences. And can I say this to you? I'll explain it later. I'll just close with it. All those experiences, you are sowing into your future. It will come. You know, I've said that many times. It will come. Before I began to do miracle crusades, I went to hospitals. My first experience with going to pray for the sick in somebody's, in a person's house, was in fellowship. Somebody said we should go and pray for the sick. Somebody was sick, went there to pray. I remember one of my friends in fellowship then, some of my people remember this story. The father was sick and in coma for days. And the fellowship sent us there. We entered that hospital. We prayed that man back to life. Right? Yes. So you know those small meetings? Are you getting the point? Our leader in fellowship then, one of the leaders in fellowship then, got married and didn't have a child for long. They have a child for long. And two or three of us in the fellowship. She says, because can you come and pray for me? We got there. We prayed and had a baby next year. Yes. It's in all those small, small things. So I didn't just jump to this place and say, power move. There are 13 women about to have a child. It also works like that. Are you following me? It's in the experiences that we are formed. Christian conduct, Christian character, Christian disciplines, the values of Christ, the insults that come with it, that form in you. Are you following me? That form in you. So, hope with these few points of mine. Praise God. Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
So don't run away from your experience. Don't run away from small group meetings. That's what things happen. The problem we have with the body of Christ is that we have many who are willing, you know, listening to messages is sweet, who are willing to sit down to hear, but they don't ever want to participate. So if a church has small group evangelism, a church of 10,000 people, on Sunday they can have 10,000 people, the door of the small group evangelism, in this small group, 5 will show up, 8 will show up, 3 will show up. The whole crowd will be not up, will be like 1,000 people out of 10,000. You see, so how many people are hearing, who are just getting information, but very little who are being trained. Are you following me, friends? The training happens in the smaller groups. So, don't just take in information, which is very important. The word of God is the foundation for all of this. Right? But also, allow yourself to have the experience. When we call for it to show up, it may not be a spiritual thing. There are people that have had to, when we came to this place, there are people that walked here from Sunday till the next Sunday. You see that experience, you can't take it away from them. They have had it. It's their experience. Are you following me? You can never take it from them. Some of them lost jobs. I know some of them were working, they lost their job in the process of doing that work. Is that experience? You can't take it. It's enough to say, I can't do anything for Jesus. You can't. Or even if you can, you'll never have the opportunity to do it for Jesus if you don't show up. Are you following me? Let me say this. Every season in a local church is a season of training. Find whatever is happening in your local church. Find out how you can be part of it in your own small group. Because there is a training you are receiving or you are missing at the time. And there are seasons in a church that can never return. It can never return. The first generation of people I trained in this place had the best privilege. Some of them could stay with me all night, all day. After that, I'll come out and pluck mango with them. Yes. But it's not those small groups. As things got bigger, I found out that, and this is why, look at this. The quality of Christians in a local church, in most churches you see, they keep dropping. When you look at the first generation of people, they're always solid Christians. Second, by the time you get to the last generation, have you ever gone to a church? You look at the pastors in that church. Solid Christians. You look at the members. You are wondering. There is no connection. Have you seen that kind of thing before? They are not serious. They are not strong. They are weak. Because there is a breach in discipleship. But that first generation interacted directly with the man of God. He trained them personally. The other second generation said, they come to church and they will just come in and go home. They don't know that the same way the first generation had a one-on-one flow with the man of God, they should also have one-on-one flows with different disciples in that church. That will impact in them the same thing they got from the pastor. That's how we can have the same quality of Christians. Are you following me, friends? So don't pass through. Be part of a small group. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet. Let's just give Jesus praise.
Thank you. For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.